Last night, after a long struggle with cancer, Hugo Chavez, president of Venezuela, passed away. Hi, I'm Kevin Clark, associate editor for America Magazine. Today I'm talking with assistant professor Matthew Carnes of Georgetown University's government studies program. Am I getting that right, Father Carnes?
The government department, that's correct.
Government department, and Father Carnes is associated with Georgetown Center for Latin American Studies. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Kevin.
Could you tell us, Father, it must have come as a great shock to the people of Venezuela, where he was somewhat beloved, I believe. What was the reaction on the streets of Caracas at the news of President Chavez's death?
Well, as you know, he'd been ill for quite some time, so in some ways this was long anticipated. But the pressure had been building a lot, you know, in recent weeks, especially as he made his return to Venezuela just a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, arrived in the dark of night, was taken off to a military hospital, and a number of his supporters actually came right there outside of the hospital to in a sense, keep vigil and to be close to him. They received no direct word on directly from him, although they did hear through his vice president, Nicolas Maduro, a little bit about his condition, especially after this last weekend there was a mass said for him. And so they mentioned that he was quite ill and still asking for the help of his people. And, of course, once the news came of his death, this great outpouring of grief, of sadness at the passing of this man who had had just an outsized impact in Venezuelan politics and
would you say it's something? Life. Would you say it might be something akin to what the Soviet citizens experienced at the passing of Stalin? I mean, how much of a figure was he in Venezuelan cultural imagination?
Well, I think certainly of that caliber. I think a very different kind of figure, but certainly, and one actually that I wonder if will not be paralleled when Fidel Castro eventually passes as well. These are figures that gave an orientation to the imagination of the public, an idea of what society could and should be, and then in some ways delivered on that. You know, Chavez delivered, you know, in these missions, these misiones, you know, that he would send out to the provinces, food aid, health care, housing, really transformative benefits in people's lives. So they could feel tangibly the difference that he'd made, and the socialism that he talked about, you know, socialism for the 21st century was actually taking shape around them. So to lose that figure who was so central is something, yes, is it invites that kind of grief and outpouring of emotion.
And I presume a great deal of uncertainty. Do you think that the social movement he started in Venezuela can survive his passing?
I think it's going to be very challenging. It's interesting because he has given it a deeper foundation than just himself, although he has been the focal point, you know, all along. You know, in some ways he tried to tie it to Simon Bolivar, you know, so the great liberator of South America, and sort of the one that had a vision of a unified Latin America that could stand on its own sort of continental feet. So in that sense, it has an intellectual heritage and sort of a heritage beyond him. He also tied it very much into the ideas in the movement of Fidel Castro and this idea of a socialism that, you know, would be bigger than him. But having said that, he was always the spokesperson. He was always the focal point, always the one on TV giving voice to this. Especially behind the scenes, the one pulling the political strings to keep this moving inside of Venezuelan politics. And without that, the ideas can only go so far.
So it's sort of a classic political cult of personality.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, behind any cult of personality, though, there's a lot of machinations around the strings of power, balancing off different interests that might want to challenge you, finding ways to keep them down, finding ways to make the most use of the media. You know, so he's been widely criticized for the ways he's limited media participation and demanded a space for himself. And that's true. He's also been very savvy. You know, he had over 3 million Twitter followers. I mean, who else has a following like that? People, you know, hanging on every word. So he's one that knew how to use media, use the reins of power, but also enhance them over time.
But I don't suspect there was a great deal of succession planning in the Chavez government. Now, I think they have a constitutional requirement to have a new election within 30 days. Is a period of chaos likely to erupt now in the aftermath of his passing?
No, I don't think we'll see a period of chaos. I do think we'll see a lot of jostling for power. He was very clear, though, that he expected his vice president, Nicolás Maduro, to be the one that would succeed him. And he, in a sense, in his last sort of public statement released from the hospital, actually in Cuba, you know, as a letter, he made very, very clear that he was, in a sense, inaugurating Maduro as his successor, not just in his name, but also for the movement, that he would be sort of the representative of the party and would be the one that could carry the whole movement forward.
Does Maduro come with the same level of charisma as Chavez?
No, he certainly doesn't. So he's much more of a, he's a quieter figure. He's one that's been much more, you know, behind the scenes. He's been, well, both he and the other members of the Chavista camp have been very careful about not seeming to step at all on his toes. And so in that sense, they've let Chavez remain the focal point and haven't acquired the same cult of personality that he had.
Yeah. So there was while there was much sorrow in Caracas, there's not a lot of sorrow, I suspect, in Washington now that Hugo Chavez has passed on. Do you think there's a possible opening here in the near future with the U.S. and Venezuela to improve their relations?
You know, I think there really is. I think there are lots of opportunities, a lot of them given by business, so opportunities for greater trade, even just for greater respect within the hemisphere. You know, because of Chavez's polarizing outside character, he was someone that I think the United States had a hard time negotiating with. He could be capricious, he could be doctrinaire. All those things make him a very hard partner in conversation and business. But with him out of the picture, I think we're going to see a much more pragmatic form of government, especially if the opposition comes to power. So Enrique Capriles, who gave Chavez quite a run, or gave the best run in any of the elections that he faced, will be a very viable candidate. He's much more moderate, much more centrist, and someone the United States would be eager to work with. But even Maduro and the rest of the Chavista camp, I think, is going to slowly be looking for greater partnerships outside of Venezuela and outside of the traditional circles.
And after all, they are still selling a great deal of oil and gasoline in the United States.
That's right.
Citgo
That's right.
is the Venezuelan oil company's presence here in the U.S. economy. Do you think the opposition, if it does come into power and the Chavistas are removed from control, what's likely to happen to the socialismo movement that Chavez represented? Is the government going to step away from the social improvements that he was attempting?
Well, you know, what's tricky about that is so many of those social improvements, the social policies that he implemented, were done as missions. And that means as, you know, one-shot type activities. They weren't institutionalized. It's not like he set up a lot of infrastructure where these things already have their bureaucracies. They'll just keep chugging forward, whoever comes to power. They really were devices that he himself was managing in a way that helped millions of people, but also that was very clientelistic, very patronage-ridden, sometimes corrupt. And so I think there will be an effort from the opposition to clean up some of that. There may even be a desire to let go of some of it because it's extremely expensive. And so I could see them, and they're trying to balance the books in the first years, maybe not picking up on that legacy or doing it in a much more limited way. So I think we'll see some real change on that front.
And what about sort of the reclamation of the oil industry from the Chavez supporters' control? Would that be something the opposition would be looking at affecting?
Oh, I think so, absolutely. I think they'll be looking for bringing that on to better ground in the international sphere. You know, one thing that's been lacking in Venezuela and to a certain extent in other countries in Latin America, especially Mexico, I think of, where state-owned oil companies often are not the best at doing additional research and investment. And I think this is going to be something that the opposition would like to get going again so that they can exploit resources that wouldn't have been found before. You know, Brazil is a great example of a public-private partnership that has been able to exploit new resources and actually pioneer some of these salt deposits that haven't been exploited in other parts of the world. I think Venezuela is going to look and say, hey, we've been kind of so focused on using the proceeds from this to provide social programs that we haven't taken care of the oil company itself. And so I think you'll see an investment back into the oil company, and they'll look for partners internationally to do that.
You think the United States, I mean, obviously, you know, Chavez famously referred to the sulfur aroma after Bush spoke at the White House and had a fairly, not at the White, at the United Nations, had a sort of a relentlessly antagonistic relationship, even with Obama, whom he famously embarrassed as well by handing him a book on Latin American history. Have we learned anything from the Chavez experience, or you know, are we just is American foreign policy sort of content to wait out storms of neo-leftist movements in Latin America and wait for the almost inevitable return of the capitalist class?
Yeah, no, that's a wonderful question, and I think, you know, one of the things he's pushed us on, and actually even the encounter with Obama is a really good example of, is how little attention we've given to our neighbors right here at the on our southern border. You know, this is something we have not paid enough attention to them, and it's something that's felt quite strongly throughout the region, Venezuela in particular, but I mean, really throughout the region, a feeling that there hasn't been the kind of respect and concern that really that the many countries of Latin America deserve. I think that's something we should learn from. I think that especially when we think about the kind of trade we do a massive amount of trade with Latin America, and these are partners who deserve more of our attention. When you look at where principally has the president traveled, and I'm talking about across presidents, the last eight presidents in office, you know, where have they spent most of their attention and time? It's been more focused on Europe, recently more focused on Asia. A lot of our attention has been focused on the Middle East, of course, and the wars, you know, in Iraq and Afghanistan. These have been things that have so taken up our attention that we've ignored some of these really vital relationships right here on our borders that really do deserve more of our attention. So I think that may be something we learn from this experience.
So Chavez's death offers an opportunity to reboot and refocus on our relationship with Latin America and Venezuela specifically.
I think that's right, yes.
Okay, well, thank you, Father Carnes. I'm Kevin Clark, America Magazine. We've been speaking about the passing of Hugo Chavez. Thank you so much for your time, Father Carnes.
Thank you.
And
thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you. And you can find out more about Hugo Chavez and the future of the relationship with Venezuela and the United States at americamagazine.org. Thanks for listening.